Good morning, people of God.
Good morning.
Welcome this morning as we come together in this time of worship. This is a special Sunday. We're celebrating we call this Mission Sunday. Did you notice there are some things hanging over the pews? This is the loving and gracious work of many hands. I just want those who have worked on any of these quilts, please stand. Good. These are really well.
Thank you.
You are children of God.
You are children of God.
God has something to say. God hears our voices.
So we sing in prayer.
Come, let us worship.
Our first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If you would read responsively, please. This is Psalm 37, verse 1 through 9. Do not provoke by evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong, for they shall soon wither like the grass, and like the green grass, fade away. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and find safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, who shall give your heart's desire. Commit your way to the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord and see what God will do. The Lord will make your vindication as clear as the light, and the justice of your case like the noonday sun. But still before the Lord, and wait patiently. Do not be provoked by the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes. Refrain from anger and leave rage alone. Do not be provoked. It leads only to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord shall possess the land.
Hallelujah. hallelujah, hallelujah. It's two things. You know, I'm going to play on it with men, so you're on your own.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. When he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared, was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer all these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead of us as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
I invite you to be seated and also invite any children.
Sitting on some fabric. What do you see on that fabric? Anything familiar?
Hammer!
You see lots of animals?
I do too. What kind of colors do you see on the fabric?
Blue, pink.
Yeah. Lots of colors, huh? I like lots of colors, lots of bright colors. That's why I wore this dress today. And also because this dress, someone, a friend of mine from Malawi, made this for me. And so I love when I get to talk about Malawi because that means I get to wear this dress. And you know what's even cooler?
What?
This little girl right here, who's one of my daughters, has a dress that kind of matches, doesn't it? I know. And we don't often get a chance to wear them together. So we were excited to be here today. And we were excited to wear our Malawi dresses. Well, I have a globe here. And I'm wondering if one of you could point to where maybe we live on this globe. Do you think any of you could point to where we live on this globe? You think you might? I can help you. Yeah, it's really small. Yep, right about there. Absolutely. Now, Malawi, does anyone know where Malawi is?
What?
Does anyone know what continent Malawi is on?
What?
Where is it? What do you think?
By the ocean.
It is by the ocean. It's not in South America. Yep, it's in Africa. Africa is a huge continent. So huge. And Malawi, so if we were over here, you fly across the Atlantic Ocean and way over to here, way down on the southern end of Africa. And that's almost 9,000 miles from here. Can you imagine 9,000 miles?
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, I
and you ride on a plane for hours and hours and hours in order to get there. There are a couple adults from your congregation who have also been there. Yeah, a few of them. I was there with them, which was just so much fun. But I want to share with you a couple things about Malawi. Number one, this fabric that you're sitting on, you might see Luann, who's playing the piano. She's wearing some beautiful, colorful fabric. Sharon, who's sitting right behind Pastor Randy, is also wearing some beautiful fabric. In Malawi, all the women wear this beautiful fabric as a skirt. Or they have dresses made like this. So all the women wear all of this. And lots of children do too. And sometimes they take fabric like this, or they might weave mats for kids like you to sit on just like this. But today, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that we learn every time we go to Malawi. People in Malawi are really good at saying thank you to God for everything that happens in their life. And so I want to teach you how to say thank you in the same language they speak in Malawi, which is a language called Chichewa. Do any of you speak Chichewa?
No.
No? I don't speak very good Chichewa either, but I practice a lot. But I'm going to teach you how to say a couple things. I'm going to teach you how to say thank you, and I'm going to teach you how to say Jesus, so that we can learn to pray just like kids do in Malawi by saying thank you to Jesus. So the first word is zikomo. Say that.
Zikomo.
That's pretty easy, isn't it? Zikomo means thank you in Chichewa. So you'll hear lots of people say zikomo all over the place. They use this a lot. So try one more time. Zikomo.
Zikomo.
And Jesus is pretty easy. Jesus is Yesu. Say that.
Yesu.
So if you want to say thank you, Jesus, you say zikomo Yesu. Oh, pretty good. Zikomo Yesu.
Zikomo Yesu.
Yeah, look at there. Now you know how to speak Chichewa. So now you can go to Malawi and say thank you to Jesus with all the kids that you meet there. Now, there's one more thing that we learned with the kids there that I want to teach you. But I will only teach you in English because learning the Chichewa can be a little tricky. But it's a song that kids sing there about Jonah and about praying. And this is how it goes.
It's a movie too.
I don't know about the movie.
It's at my house too.
That's exciting. Maybe kids in Malawi maybe could see that movie, you think? Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is how the song goes, and I want to invite you to sing. It's pretty easy. It's wake up, Jonah, we want to pray. That's it. Can you do it with me? Wake up, Jonah, we want to pray. Wake up, Jonah, we want to pray. And then there's the second part. Wake up, Jonah.
Wake up, Jonah, we want to pray.
And you can use anybody's name. What's your name? Say it again.
Sophie. We could say,
wake up, Sophie, we want to pray.
What's your name?
Helene.
Say it again.
Helene.
Wake up, Helene, we want to pray.
Just like that. And lots of kids sing that when they go to Sunday school time or when they're at home with their families, they might sing this song together. It's a very, very, very common song here.
Yeah.
So let's pray together before you go back to your seat, and we'll say Om Yesu. Okay, let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this day, for this time of worship, and for all the ways that you show up in our lives and fill us with joy. And we today want to say thank you, Jesus. Om Yesu. Amen. You can go back to your seat. Thanks, kiddo.
Thank you.
So nice to have a helper with me today. Well, grace and peace to you, dear friends in Christ. About 5 years ago, our youngest daughter, Lila, who was just 5 years old at the time, developed a fever, pretty common for kids of that age. The mystery of this fever continued for a couple of days when we thought she had maybe developed the flu. When she couldn't sleep and told us that her hip was hurting, this seemed a bit strange, so we decided to take her to urgent care, hoping for a quick diagnosis and treatment that could get her feeling better again. When a few tests came back negative, they sent us to the ER, hoping the staff could perhaps do an ultrasound, checking for appendicitis. This little girl was feeling worse by the hour when the medical team came back with negative results. No sign of an inflamed appendix, but they could definitely see that something was wrong. During the ER shift change, the new on-call doctor told us he'd like to do a full CT scan, hoping to see a larger area that could tell us more. Within a short amount of time, he returned with the news that she would be taken in for emergency surgery immediately to clean up infection from a severely burst appendix. She was one of a very small percentage of kids whose appendix grows on the back side of her intestine. This, of course, was the reason she mentioned pain in her hip, not her belly, and why the ultrasound showed nothing, because her appendix grew in the wrong place. By the time the surgeon finished the procedure, we discovered that this small 5-year-old was very, very sick and would be spending the next few days in the hospital until she was cleared of any internal infection. For a parent, this is one of the most difficult places to be, permanently leaning at the bedside of a child in the hospital, knowing you have no control over the situation. I know there were family and friends who stopped by that week, although I would not be able to make an exact list if someone asked me to. I know what a rock my spouse was, tending to everything that our other three kids needed, while also being with me and Lila whenever possible. I'm certain I stayed up every night to watch her breathing and check her heart rate, which had been out of control until the infection was gone. I think now about how skilled that medical team was with this child who was in pain and scared. But there is one particular memory I have of that week that is distinctive. On the morning of our third day in the hospital, as I sat there deficient of sleep and preoccupied with the monitor beside us, the surgeon came for a visit early in the morning to check on Lila. Since she was still asleep, he sat down in a chair and asked me how I was doing. I didn't know how to respond, so we sat in silence. until he shared a story with me. He told me that the night before, he had been sitting at home in a chair, rocking his own little girl who was 3 years old at the time, and he began to think of Lila laying there in that hospital bed, about how sick she became so quickly and how awful it is to see our children so frail, about how unexpectedly these things can happen and how helpless we often feel as parents. He confirmed that she was still very sick, but also assured me that he knew she would be fine, back on her feet, playing with her kindergarten friends in no time. This surgeon, a complete stranger to me until just a few days before, recognized my fear, sat with us in a moment that was completely unrefined, and helped us take a deep breath in the middle of a complicated situation. Christian mission can seem like a pretty nebulous thing sometimes, difficult to define or maybe too complex to know where to begin. And mission certainly does require commitment and intentionality. But mission, in the simplest sense of the word, is about accompanying one another. It's characterized by our efforts to walk with each other authentically and honestly. It's an action of love and of care. Christians throughout history have engaged in mission. Early on, this was interpreted as one group of people bringing God's story to another group of people. But through the years, this model has proven to be a bit unbalanced and often implied that only group one had God's story while group two did not. This becomes an unfortunate situation that hijacks people's freedom and creates insecurity. In some circumstances, this asymmetrical model resulted in misunderstandings, cruelty, power struggles, and even war. As Lutherans in the ELCA, we try to work toward accompaniment that doesn't support this model of imbalance. When we read the gospel, we hear Jesus' message of reconciliation, a message that invites us to Christ's table where every group, every person is reunited to God. One person's story is not more important than another. Our mutual sinfulness gets placed on that table where together we will ask for and receive forgiveness through bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. And together, regardless of culture or gender, language or economic status, we find ourselves a part of God's story where we are called together to function as the body of Christ. As many of you know, our synod has been accompanying the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Malawi for 20 years. 50 of our 198 congregations here in Wisconsin are partnered with parishes in Malawi, including Christ Lutheran right here, who accompanies the Balaka Parish in the central region of Malawi. During this two-decade relationship, our partnership has certainly evolved. Churches and wells have been built in Malawi, pastors have been ordained, feeding stations have served thousands of meals to children, and our brothers and sisters there have seen their fair share of challenges and celebrations. Here in northwest Wisconsin, pastors have also been ordained. We engage in food programs, and we have experienced our own unique challenges and celebrations. And so we continue to walk together with care and love. And to see with my own eyes this model of accompaniment at work is one of the most blessed and profound things I've had the privilege to witness. In mid-July, I returned from a month in Malawi. This small country is known as the warm heart of Africa, as they are well known for their hospitality. And this hospitality embodies the kind of love that welcomes the friend, the stranger, and the family member. It's the heartbeat of the people in this small African country. And this heartbeat resonates with the sounds of gratitude and generosity that can be heard in harmony among Malawi's 17 million people. The two groups I traveled with this summer had the opportunity to visit several areas during our time there. Congregations and feeding centers, schools and clinics, large cities and remote rural areas, solid brick homes and mud houses with thatched roofs, roadside markets stuffed full with fresh vegetables, and city markets with fried grasshoppers and local honey. We met pastors and local tailors, young motivated leaders implementing water programs in villages, and tribal chiefs making important decisions while maintaining the integrity of their local traditions. We worshiped. We sang. Oh, we sang. We ate and laughed with new friends. We tried a new language, new foods, and asked questions about people's lives, regional culture, society, and government. We prayed for one another more than once a day. We played games. We washed each other's hands and held sleeping toddlers. We learned so much and saw the result of many years of ministry projects, commitment to one another, shared financial gifts, important conversations, and most of all, faith in a loving God. As one of the poorest countries in the world, visitors to Malawi will also see inequality, like any other area of the world. Regions that struggle with severe food insecurity, thousands of flood and storm victims living with their families in makeshift tents until they can afford to rebuild their homes, and people dying of preventable and curable illnesses. And yet, like numerous other regions in the world, many of these challenges could be resolved with a simple redistribution of resources. Despite these challenges, our friends in the warm heart of Africa continue to surprise me with their joyful resilience. We join them at Christ's table, often arriving as strangers but leaving as family, because relationships in Malawi are believed to be essential to life, the most important aspect of every day. Our brothers and sisters invest heart and spirit into one another as they share greetings, conversations about family, and the sharing of resources. And they do so without the stress of time or schedule, two things that always take a back seat to conversation. As Jesus walked with the men on the road to Emmaus, he asked them, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk along?" When we understand that accompanying one another means that we are walking toward reconciliation with God, then we realize how important it is to overcome the barriers that might be creating unnecessary fear or misconception. Like Jesus, we can ask questions. We can listen to people and empathize with their story. We can try to understand the barriers, how they were created, and how to best respond to them. When these barriers are removed, God creates the space needed to walk together freely. When we sit next to the fearful parent at the hospital, contribute financial gifts for a feeding station in Malawi, thoughtfully assemble fabric squares into a quilt, or take time to listen to the quiet seventh grader who's being bullied at school, this is the mission of Christ that we share. As people of God, Jesus reminds us that we are not alone. He serves, blesses, and includes us, even when we ignore him. Each one of us has moments of weakness and vulnerability, because it's impossible, as we know, to go through life without being challenged by something. In those moments, we may need someone to understand, someone to sit and listen with compassion, someone to cry with us or laugh with us, someone who could bring peace to our anxious hearts. The challenge in mission is to be alert and mindful of our neighbors who may need these same things, to hold one another up when needed, to accept help when it's offered. Accompanying one another like Christ does with us feels a bit radical sometimes. Sometimes it might be confusing, and it often asks us to approach people in ways that challenge our comfort zones. but when we are willing to trust what the Holy Spirit is up to, then we are also trusting that God will be revealed to us. And together we share hope that Christ is doing something amazing and transformational with those relationships. Today I pray that God continues to create new ways to accompany one another, that the good news of Christ becomes the story you want to share as you walk and eat together. And I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to strengthen us for all that there is to be done in the world. Amen.
I received a letter from Pastor Francis, the pastor of the Balaka Lutheran Church, and I'd like to read that to you now. I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How are you? Back here in Malawi, Balaka Parish, everybody is okay. First of all, I'd like to thank God and also to you, Sharon, and entire family. I was so glad because of the hospitality which you showed to us. Indeed, it was a short time, but one day you will sit and have more time to talk and get more acquainted. You asked me about Pastor's Academy. Yes, I have attended that, and that's pastors from here go over there every other year and teach the pastors there. And this spring, Bishop Lori will be going to the Pastor's Academy to teach. This year I will attend also, he says. Finally, pass greetings to the entire Christ Lutheran Church in Menominee in Wisconsin, USA. God bless you and be gracious to you. Peace and love be with you. Amen. Reverend Francis. Then when we were in Balaka, we gave them a banner that Beverly Anderson made. Would you stand up a little bit? Thank you. And if you come up and hold this. Okay, walking together in Jesus' love. The cross is a symbol of God loved us and gave his Son who died for our sins and rose again. The red heart on the cross, so we have faith and love in Jesus as our Savior. Malawi is known as the warm heart of Africa. The white is a symbol of joy, comfort, and peace. And the blue strip around the edge is the joy in the Holy Spirit is the beginning of heavenly joy to come. And the gold circle around the whole thing, a continuous ring of gold, signifies that joy in heaven is eternal. Then there are footsteps going towards the cross. We have Balaka Lutheran Church in Africa and our church here in the United States, Christ Lutheran Church. We start out in faraway countries and we walk together with Jesus towards the cross as we grow together in his love. And we'll be hanging that someplace in the church or probably out in the narthex.
So whenever we see this, we're reminded of our partnership that our family, 9,000 miles away, also has one of these hanging there, and to really show our partnership there. Let's pray. We give you thanks, O God, as we set this banner apart and dedicate it to your glory and praise. Grant us faith to know your gracious purpose in all things, and give us joy in them. And lead us to the building up of your kingdom through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's give Beverly another thank you. I'd also like to take this time to send these quilts. And it's not just quilts, it's baby kits and what other stuff are you sending? What?
School
kits. If you go down in the education wing down there, you'll see boxes and boxes. That, by the way, they're kind of cluttered in that one room. I just want you to know that. We need to get on.
They're on the
19th. On the 19th, they go. Do you need help with that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
We don't know for sure.
The 19th is a Thursday? What?
Saturday.
It's a Saturday?
Friday or Saturday. We have to have it over in a fair between 8 and noon.
So, you probably need to keep on telling people we need help, okay? Your job is to love me. He takes that really seriously. Anyway, let's join together also in prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for those who labor in this task of mission work, and we ask you to bless the fruits of their work. Grant us faith to know your gracious purpose in all things, and continue your blessing to us. To the bounty of your creation, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able. We profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we gather as God's people, we take time to pray for the world, the church, and all who. Loving God, we are grateful this day for your goodness and grace and the mission that you give us as your people. Help us, each one and all of us, to know of that mission and to know that we are a part of that, that we walk together and we serve together and we love together and we hope together. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, on this day, we pray for your creation. Things seem to be very wet. We pray for those who work the land, for the crop, for the harvest. Help us to care for your earth, Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we pray for the nations of the world. There seems to be so many things that tend to want to tear us apart. And we pray for healing. We pray for leadership that produces justice and peace and unity among people. And so doing, help us in our disagreements to learn to love each other and walk together and talk together. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we are grateful for this day that you promised to walk with us, even when we don't realize it. Walk down the road as the disciples to Emmaus. We give you thanks for walking with us through all circumstances of life. We pray especially today for Andy, for Josie, for Randy and Pam, Brett, Sue, Patty, Kathy, Janelle, Ernie, Lexan, Jim, Norm and Helen, Sharon, Kevin, Grace, Levi, Sean, Libby, Tracy, Leo, Sam, and we especially lift up for you the family of Don Herman, and the family of Karen McGinnis, and the family of Ron Don. We pray for healing in their need. Grant them hope, we pray, Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks this day for the gifts of quilts. May these quilts and the kits that we send, may those who have them find shelter, find warmth, find encouragement, and find hope. Thank you for the witness of those who have sewn together and gathered these things. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for those who have gone before us and their witness to us, who have shown us your face. Grant us grace to be your face in our world today. Lord, in your mercy. All these things we pray in the name of the one who we trust hears and responds. We trust in your mercy and your grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The grace of our Lord. Blah, 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 blah. Peace of Christ be with you. Let's share that. Not the blah, blah, blah stuff, but the peace of Christ. Receive our morning offering at this time. Thank you.
Creator God, you made us and everything else. You provide for our every need. The bread we break and the wine we pour come from you. Help us to eat and drink with thanksgiving. Fill us with the love you have for us and for others as we receive Jesus in this meal. Make us to be as Jesus in the world.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
In His praise, give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O God, for you made the earth and all that is, and declared it good. Blessed are you, for in Christ you entered into creation, into our humanity, into our vulnerability, into our mortality. You stayed with us through conflict, through suffering, through death. Blessed are you for raising Jesus from the dead, in him promising new life to us all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, giving thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When the meal had ended, he took the cup. To giving thanks, he gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The table has been set, and it's been set for you. Jesus, our hopes and host, invites us to come. So come and eat.
Thank you.
Please stand and pray. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace and His peace. Amen. Holy, generous One, we say,
thank you.
You gathered and fed us like the multitudes on the hillside, and we are full of your life. We say,
thank you.
With this food, give us strength to live and to live fully. We say,
thank you.
We love one another like a family, and we trust you to serve the world until we meet again. And we say,
thank you.
In the name of Jesus, our Christ, who feeds the world. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll stay standing as we sing our closing song.
Church.
have to stay grace. We have to stay grace. Remember those grace terms? We have to stay grace. Let's sing grace, okay? Let's sing to be present. Thank the Lord, and we're going to stay in the service.